It's the creator of the universe who is the biggest creative. And you're meant to be just like him. He wants you to be just like him. And so you're not wrong for wanting to create. I don't care what field you're in, you are called to create.
Welcome back to another episode of Cultivating Truth. My name is Aaron Davis, and today we have a special episode because I am here at the Christian Worldview Film Festival, and it is our very first day, and I'm sitting with none other than Cameron Arnett.
Man, how are you, man?
Well,
thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. So it's crazy that we get to do this now because we met, a couple of years ago at, ICVM? And you're a board member over there doing great things. And we sat down, had dinner, and everything has just pretty much blown up from there in a positive way. So now we're sitting down and you have a big movie coming up.
Yeah, man. A lot of good things going on, man. You can't orchestrate better than God. I have, of course, The Forge coming out in August. Yeah. We actually shot last summer, and they've been in the process of post-production and putting it together. And right now, I don't know how many passes they've done so far on the film, but my wife and I had an opportunity to take a look at it maybe after the first or second one. And so they've dwindled it down from somewhere between 2 hours, 2.5 hours to like 157. So to see what's been cut out, we don't really know yet. So we'll see what happens there. But I heard it's been getting good reviews. So we're looking forward to it.
So with this line of work, I get a chance to talk to many creatives with a plethora of different mediums. So I'm wondering, what drew you into acting? Where did it all begin for you?
Wow. You know, I like to tell people that acting kind of chose me twice. You know, I was actually a pre-med, pre-law student in college. Never thought about this as a career. And one summer I was doing EKG, respiratory therapy at a hospital. And I decided to do something for fun. And I answered an ad for actors and models and that kind of stuff. And I entered a competition and ended up winning the competition. And it was my first time being on stage doing all that kind of stuff. And I followed up with maybe about another 10, 11 competitions. And I basically won like 8 out of 10 competitions. And it kind of just changed the whole trajectory of my life, you know? And so that was the first time I would say that was the choosing that acting chose me, because, you know, I was a football player for UM. I was, you know, again, in pre-med, pre-law, you know, those kind of things. It was just totally a different, you know, realm altogether. And I had to like lose weight, you know, very muscular at the time, I had to lose weight and all kind of stuff that I had to do in order to do this. And I went from Miami to New York to LA. And that was the first choosing. And then when they wanted me to do the whole partial body nudity in LA, I dropped everything, left it because I was already a Christian. I couldn't do that. And ended up being in Atlanta. And my wife and I were pastoring for about 2 decades. And around 2013, God brought us back in. And I would say the second choosing and the real choosing, you know, because God brought us in as a filmmakers within Christian filmmaking. And the more people that I talk to, the more I find out how heavy 2013 was in people's lives. You know, it seemed like he initiated this filmmaking thing in a lot of people's lives around that time. So we're really in the midst of it now, and we're looking for what else God is doing, because it's just been mind-boggling.
So you mentioned your wife. Tell us a little bit about BJ.
BJ Arnett. Wow. You know, we'll be speaking tomorrow, as a matter of fact, but one of the things about Christ over career, or having Christ over everything, is that you start to make your decisions differently. You know what I'm saying? You start to actually follow him as King, as Lord. And when you do that, there are things that you don't understand he'll tell you to do. And it's like, okay, Lord, you're Lord, let's do it. So when I said no to the whole acting thing in California, I lost everything. Lost agent, lost ex-wife, lost everything. Ended up sleeping in the back room of a woman who was on welfare. Everything, all right? And so after about a year and a half, I'm in the back room. All I had left to my name was a couch and my books and my desk. And I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm studying. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, you haven't seen your godson in 6 years. Why don't you try to find him? Well, my godson was BJ's son. And so in finding him, I found my wife. And so we the very first time we spoke in 5 years, we spoke for 5 hours on the phone. And that's when there was long distance, when I was paying for the whole thing. And so we're talking. And while I'm talking to her, the Holy Spirit said, that's your wife. And it's like, come on, man. You know, this is crazy, right? And so we're talking. The Holy Spirit said again, that's your wife. And by the fifth hour, we get married on a God set. Hadn't seen this woman in 6 years, didn't know nothing about her, and making choices because God said. And that's what people don't understand about him being Lord, is that sometimes what he says doesn't make earthly sense, but he knows, all right? He knows your life before you were even born. You know? So before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And so I made the choice. And I told my then assistant, because I was a youth pastor at the time, and I said, if God says it's my wife, I will know if I go to Atlanta and I sit across the table from her. And so I hopped on a plane, went I tell the story of one of my pet peeves is being late. I cannot stand being late. Right. And so I get to the airport in Atlanta from California and I land and this woman is late. And I'm like, Lord, you got to be kidding me. This could not be what you mean. Right. But actually, my plane was early. But anyway, so here she comes coming out of the doors and I'm fuming. I'm hot. I'm like, this woman is late. And so, you know, I'm trying to hear God. We get into this blue turquoise mommy van. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to work out, Lord. And so we're driving down the street and we park just to talk. And as soon as we turn off the car, God says, this is your wife. And we got married on that. Wow. And we tell people that we are in an arranged marriage. It's not that we loved each other. It's that we loved God. And since God said that was your wife, and she said, I will. And we got married. And again, because God knows, it was the best decision that he's ever made for me, you know? And so now we've been married for 25 years, together for 26, and it's been phenomenal.
Yeah, every time I see you guys together.
Yes, that's it. I mean, you know, the word of God says, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And that wife is that perfect help that's meet for him. And so we've been able to attest to that because we've allowed ourselves to do it from his perspective. We didn't choose each other. We chose to say yes to God, and we found each other in God because we were both in love with him. And so that love, that place of oneness came out of being one with him. And so we made the decision at the beginning of our marriage that the word of God would be our final authority, that whatever he says here, that's what it's going to go. And so that's been the foundation of our lives. And that oneness is something that I pray for anybody, everybody, because I've never seen it. I've never seen what I have. You know what I'm saying? And so to be in that place and to know that it's God that put it together and to watch him confirm his word so definitely is encouraging. And, you know, we tell each other all the time, God has done so much in the last 25 years that we'd be embarrassed not to believe him, you know? But the thing about it is that he's gotten us to the point of Christ over career. He's gotten us to the point of that we understand that if we will obey, if we will just do what he says, then he confirms his word. But if we don't, then we're on our own. And so we've been able to see the results of that.
So tell me a little bit more about Christ Over Career. I see the logo all the time.
Yeah, Christ Over Career, man. You know, it's funny because when I did Overcomer, the movie Overcomer with the Kendricks, and I started getting interviewed by a whole bunch of different, you know, secular people and all kind of different radio and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. So we were going and doing junkets and everything else and getting interviewed. And one of the secular, as a matter of fact, entities said, man, you chose Christ over your career, you know, and that and you're stuck. You know what I'm saying? And it became a through line that people would just pick up on, Christ over your career kind of thing. And so it wasn't, again, something that it had a life of its own, and it just kind of chose me. And so the thing about it is that even in the process, I've had to discover what it really is, because people were saying, man, that's your message. That's your message. And in the process of teaching, I realized it's not the message. It's the result of the message, because the message is him as king, him as Lord. And so, you know, we teach kingdom wherever we go, and we let people know that Christ over career is basically calling the church back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, putting him and keeping at the helm of every decision. And then we're dealing with that Christ over career is a result of the relationship with the king. You know, once you start following him as king, which means he gives commands and we obey them. Yeah. Once you do that, basically everything that he's made you for is what he's leading you towards, you know? And so we don't have to figure it out. All we have to do is believe and obey.
So I know typically with the Kendricks films, they like to focus on certain themes, life mark and adoption, fireproof with marriage, courageous, biblical manhood and fatherhood. What's going on with The Forge? What's it all about?
Well, without giving too much information, you know, it's basically about discipleship, which is again at the core of, you know, what we are not only called to be, but also called to fulfill and to produce. You know, one thing that we all share as Christians is the ministry of reconciliation. We're all supposed to be reconciling the world back unto him, everybody. You know, so there isn't anyone who doesn't have that as a part of their DNA, because that's what God said. And also on the other side of that is to make disciples of all men. So basically, everything that you're supposed to, everything that you're connected with, everything that you do, everything that we all do has to have, it's a two-sided coin. One is to save the lost. The other is to disciple the saved. So if what you're doing, who you are, is not connected to those two things, then it's not for God, because that's what God is doing in the earth. All right. And so it's really a matter of understanding the theme, as they put it, as discipleship is the same with us as Christ over career. You know, now we're part of a film that's actually showing the church its core mandate. Yeah. You know, this is what he left us here to do. And it's not just to open churches. It's not just to preach a whatever word. It's to make disciples, people who are disciplined after the ways of their master. Yeah. All right. And so that's where the answers are. That's where the success is, being a disciple. Being someone that's conformed to the image and likeness of the Son. There's nothing greater for us to be. But also, and I love, Stephen was talking about it this morning, and as he read it, you know, it's what's funny about the Word of God is you read it, you hear it, and new revelation keeps on coming, new revelation, no matter how long you've heard it. And as he was reading the scripture of make disciples of all men, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you and everything else, what jumped out to me was that he says, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, Lord, I'm with you always until the end of the earth. And so the thing about it is that in religious settings or in church settings, we think of making disciples as teaching them to observe all things that he commands them. No, he said, all things that I've commanded you. So first of all, you have to understand you've been commanded to be this disciple. Now command them or teach them to do what you do, to be who you are. You know, and one of the things that we teach as we travel is that the intent of God is to make all of us Christ in our skin, you know? And so the whole point of it is realizing that we're sons and we're daughters. And that's what the movie is all about, is about understanding that, you know, God had an intent, and his intent was to make disciples of all men because he wanted to duplicate Jesus, not just some human walking around.
Well, I don't know how much you can reveal, but is there any way you can explain a little bit about your character?
I play the role of Joshua in the film. And again, I there's a relationship, if you would, that kind of presents itself, you know, within the film, that I end up basically being the role model or the mentor or the discipler of this young man. And we go through his life as to where he's been, what he's done, where he's going, and how all of that interplays. And so what I love about, again, not only this film, but all the films that I've seen and I've been a part of with the Kendricks, is that all of us can see ourselves in different points and times of our lives and certain characters. So you kind of get an opportunity to not only hear the word of God, but to also see how it applies. You know what I'm saying? And so through this young man's life, phenomenal actor, Aspen Kennedy, we get to see how it's applied and how the principles work and what, you know, the stakes are high and low and everything else. So we got to get a picture of ourselves and it's kind of like a blueprint and an entertaining fashion of how to be not only a disciple, but a disciple maker.
Man, discipleship, you know, is a huge part of my story. I mean, I was a boneheaded teenager.
Weren't we all?
Yeah, so I got saved in youth ministry, and it was ironically through creative ministries. That's what got me plugged into the church. And, you know, we would write skits and act and, you know, perform during youth Sundays. And that's really how I got plugged in and involved. And so I was mentored and discipled by my youth minister, and eventually older men came into my life, poured into me, and that's pretty much my story. And so the fact that you are taking this to the film, I think that's amazing.
Yes, it is. You know, you get the opportunity to not only live it out, which is of course first, but to teach and train people that are within your sphere of influence, within your, you know, whatever it is that you do as a person individually. But these films go around the world. And the feedback that we've gotten on the things that we've done in the past, let alone what I know is coming up, you know, you're seeing people's lives change, you know, them waking up for the first time and seeing themselves and seeing the possibilities, understanding the scriptures. You know, it's so mind-blowing that these films, you know, go out and do what you cannot do, you know, just by the talking heads, you know, and also people get an opportunity to watch them and allow this visual medium to really infuse all of the principles of God without judgment, without any kind of pressure. They can see it over and over and over again. They can go, all this kind of stuff that it is. It's I think we live in a phenomenal time where we're able to use this platform to you know, really bless people's lives, man. I think I'm extremely fortunate just to be a part of it.
So we like to connect the Christian creative community internationally. You already know where I'm going. It's true that you're not from the U.S., right?
That is correct. I am originally from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, which is this little country, you know, south of Florida, 600 miles, I believe. And it's basically considered one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. And so to be in this arena, to be doing what I do, is miraculous by itself. To be in the throes of all of this, and there's an interesting connection too there. You know, both my wife and I, you know, our parents have had these dreams. When you take a look at God being a generational God, you know, he's kind of inputted certain things in our parents, and yet those things could not be realized. And from me, my wife and I, we're at my mom's not too long ago. I mean, I guess a good 2 years ago, maybe. And we're looking through, you know, pictures. And I see a picture of her, you know, in this costume, you know. And I'm like, what's this? And she says, well, you know, she was on stage. She was playing this queen, blah, blah, blah. And she had wanted to act. But, of course, in Haiti, that wasn't possible. And I realized that I was actually following her footsteps, you know. And, again, mind-boggling. So, yeah, I'm just this kid from Haiti, man. And God has shown us much grace, you know, to know that that's where I'm from, and yet now using both my wife and I globally to speak into other people's lives. It is extremely humbling, but you also get it, you know, because the reality is that You know, it's not about you. It's not about what you can do. It's not about your brilliance. It's not about your perfection. It's not about any of that. It's about the God choosing you, his anointing, his calling, and his favor on your life to be exactly what he called you to be and to do. And you getting involved with that and saying yes and amen and going along for the ride. And so that's where we are. We're in this ride, man. And
So speaking of this ride, I'm blown away by your journey. For some who do not know all the twists and turns about your journey, some from afar might think that there's quite the glamorous life. So what's some encouragement to someone who aspires to act but thinks it's just too far-fetched?
Wow, encouragement. Encouragement from the word perspective is basically for God to give you courage to do what he's called you to do. And so really encouragement for most people is fear-based, meaning that they are afraid because God calls you to do the impossible. You know, when you talk about how we got married, like I said before, how many people are saying, you know what? I don't know this woman. I ain't never seen this woman. I don't know, but God said. That's just not how we do it. And yet we call ourselves Christians. And so God will say, don't marry her. Don't do this. Don't do that. And people do it anyway. So that's kind of the encouragement that I can give you, is that God is faithful. And he said, if you will obey him and feed on his faithfulness, you know, and you'll dwell in the land. So it's like the bottom line is to know that even though it looks like all hell will break loose, you'll lose your life, it won't happen, all of that, it will look impossible, but that's exactly what God is doing, you know. And my prayer is that we would have the courage to do the impossible, the courage to do what looks like it will kill you, you know, because the very way that Jesus birthed us is by taking on death, you know. And so he took what hell, what Satan, what the world thought was the biggest and baddest thing that could be, which is death. We're afraid of it. And he died to show us that nothing has power but him. And so a lot of what God has for us as Christians is cloaked in death, is cloaked in loss, is cloaked in impossibilities. And so, you know, at a certain point, God had told my wife and I, it's like, you know, God dwells in the impossibilities of men. And it's not until you're trying to do something impossible that God has to come on the scene. You know, everything else you can do, you know. And so the impossible is where we need courage. But the impossible is what he will do if we'll believe him and act on what he said. So I hope that my words will give somebody courage to do what they fear.
How do you feel about the current cultural climate in arts and media?
Well, you know, it's like anything else. You know, anything that humans are involved in, there's the good and the bad, the evil, the good, bad, and the ugly, you know? And so Jesus said that in his kingdom, there are four kinds of ground, but only one is good. And so what happens is that I don't care whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, whether you're, you know, entertainer, four kinds of ground, only one is good. So there are people doing the same thing, but the motives, that's really the issue. Who are you in while you're doing this? It's not the this that you're doing, but it's the who are you. And so sometimes we tend to ask God, you know, what do you want me to do? But the question is, who am I? You know, and so if you get the who I am first, then the what to do comes into play. And so I think that, you know, it's an oxymoron or it's kind of duplicitous in the sense of, you know, while all this great goodness, God taking over the entertainment industry and God, you know, raising up, you know, Christian filmmakers that are in love with Jesus, and we see all this happening. While all this is happening in the kingdom, there are also people within the kingdom that are doing it for the money. They're doing it for this, they're doing it for that. And God is going to, the thing about God is that he owns the right to use everybody because he sent his son and everybody belongs to him. He's the owner of all things. And so he'll use you to save and disciple people, and then you'll still end up in hell because your motives were wrong. So he's not going to discard what you do, but he may discard why you did it. And so our job is to be conformed to his image and likeness. And so, you know, Paul says, you know, that I press ahead so I can apprehend the things for which I've been apprehended. All right. And so there is all of us have been apprehended by God to fulfill something. But before we fulfill that something, we've been apprehended to be someone. And so the question is, will we give ourselves to being made that someone by the Holy Spirit so that he can actually accomplish that thing through holy hands so we can have the benefit forever being with Jesus? Or will he have to use us in spite of us to do the thing that he wants to do, and yet we weren't the right person to do it? That kind of thing. And so that's discipleship. Yeah. That's the gravity of the word, like the commonality of where we are in Christendom, whether it's Christian filmmaking but Christendom as a whole, is that he's full of grace and truth, and people love grace, and grace is a truth, but obviously it's not the only truth. And so the moment that you remove truth from grace, it's not Christianity. You know, and so a lot of people want to remove truth from grace, and that's where the problem comes in, because it's not that God wants you to succeed, man. He wants you to succeed. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the true success is in being his kind of man. And so we have to put the horse before the cart, as they were, instead of the other way around, and that's what this is all about.
So this conversation has had a lot of discussion about discipleship. And now within the next couple of days, I'm really excited that I actually get to see the movie. So I can't help but wonder, how has discipleship played a role in your own life?
Oh, wow. Discipleship is what we're all about, man. The whole point, and that's where Christ Over Korea came out. I mean, I didn't know. I'm a Christian, so I didn't know that all Christians don't make decisions the same way. And as I started getting into this thing from a Christian perspective all over again, you started to realize that Christians were not making discipleship decisions. And so all of life for us is being discipled by the Holy Spirit to understand that we have a king. This is not a democracy. You know what I'm saying? There's no Republican Democrat. This is a king, a kingdom. And so we have a king. So we're kingdom people. So we don't vote in this, you know, kingdom. We hear and obey because of who he is, because we know who he is. And what does the word say? Jesus said that this is eternal life, that you might know the true God and Jesus Christ, his son. That is eternal life. And so I just think that in our lives, that's just the way that it is. That's the way that it's been. And what we've experienced makes it even more so that, because he is so faithful. He's so gracious. He's so forgiving. He's so merciful. He's so confirming of his word. That, you know, it's like what we, like Peter said, no, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. I mean, there's no turning back, because God has more than proven himself. And we just look forward to the more that he is. And it's enabled us to give ourselves more and more to him and to become better Christians, better disciples, you know?
Let's talk a little bit about hurdles. I know from our previous discussions that you have had to overcome a number of hurdles in your life. You talked earlier about your story and how you were not where Christ wanted you to be. I mean, you came from another country. What's maybe the biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome in your career?
Wow. There have been many hurdles. I will say the blessing of all the hurdles is that on the other side of the hurdle, in obedience to God, there's an erasure of the hurdle. It's like how the word says that, you know, a woman, because, you know, while she's in labor, has those labor pains, but after the baby is born, for the joy that's, you know, that she has, she forgets all of that. you know? And it's the same thing with the pains that I think that my wife and I have had, or that I've had through this whole thing of, you know, coming to the country, you know, not speaking English and all that kind of stuff. You know, on the other side of the obedience is such awesomeness that there becomes an erasure. I know that I had a hurdle. I know that there have been many hurdles, but I almost don't even remember some of them at this point in time. You know, I think the hurdle that I'd have to point to is really on this side of being, you know, a success in the eyes of man, because I think a success is really, you know, are you living for Jesus? But, you know, when people see over 40 something films and 6 or 7 television series, and, you know, my wife, she's a, you know, a chair of arts and entertainment at her college, and, you know, all this kind of stuff that has happened in our lives, and they see the success. I think the biggest hurdle for me is that sometimes the success gets in the way, because people see you now as an actor, and they don't realize that you're a son of God, you're an apostle, prophet, and teacher, and that you're called to change their lives. They want to know how to act. They want to know how to have success like you do. Dude, that's not it. What you're seeing, you're seeing the wrong thing, okay? When my wife and I were pastoring, you know, we had started doing a lot of ministry on television. Okay, so we were always doing, you know, always in the street doing all that kind of stuff. But people used to come to the church looking for these celebrity pastors. And then they come to the church and we're like, hey, we got to go feed the homeless. We got to go ahead and go, you know, check on people. And then before you know it, they're like, that's not what we had in mind, you know? And so people come to you, you know, because they want to be a star. Man, I left that behind in the world, you know? So I think that that's the biggest hurdle, watching the religion that's still in the church and them not getting that the only reason why it's happening for you the way that it is because Christ is first. And if this is not, and this is not, you know, this is, you know, I think Stephen said it earlier this morning. I only do this because I know that that's what God called. This is what God said. And other than that, man, you know, I'd be doing something else if that's what he said.
Wow. So according to our conversation earlier, rumor has it Cameron is not the only name that you go by.
Cameron is the stage name, if you would. All right. And so basically my name is Camille. My real name is Camille. I'm Port-au-Prince, Haiti, French, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, of course, and I had to grow up with that all my life. And so I've been called so many names, misunderstood all the time. But I was on stage, man, one time. And I mean, they called me 4 or 5 different names, you know, because they couldn't say Camille. And when I was in Florida, they used to send me these invitations to run for Miss Florida because, you know, I modeled and acted and all that kind of stuff. So when they saw the name Camille, they just thought it was a woman. And so I'm getting all this stuff to run for Miss Florida. I'm like, my manager says, we're gonna have to do something about this. So we kind of sat around and brainstormed and kind of to see what kind of name kind of could interact or could be considered from Camille or Cameron, from Camille, and then we came up with Cameron. And so Cameron became the name that I used as an actor. But yeah, man, I got tired of, you know, trying to run for Miss Florida.
If you didn't finish that conversation, I naturally was going to ask, how was winning Miss Florida? So, discipleship, faith, your humbling story. You have so much wisdom and experience to bring to the table. So, what's a word of encouragement that you could give to the young creative? Someone who has not seen what you have seen, whether in industry, life, or even our own walks with the Lord?
As a young creative, you have to understand that it's the creator of the universe who called you and anointed you. It's the creator of the universe who is the biggest creative. And you're meant to be just like him. He wants you to be just like him. And so you're not wrong for wanting to create. I don't care what field you're in, you are called to create. So that's not the issue. The issue is letting him create his son in you. And so there is what you are sent here. You know how Jesus said, prepare me a body, right? There was something that he had to go do. And so God gave you a body because he had put a purpose for you to fulfill. You're not here just to, you know, take up space. You are actually here to be used by God to do something phenomenal, even if it's just to be a great, and I say even if it's just, and I don't mean it that way, but to be, I mean, because I love being a father. I love being a husband. You know, if that's what God called you, you can be the best father, the best husband, and you can raise up children. You could, you could do the, you know, what people call as normal, but as raising up the next leaders of the world. That could be what you're called to do. You know, think of Moses and his parents, right? And so we have to understand that. We can give ourselves to that point of understanding that God has all of that. So as a creative, as a young person, man, the first thing is give yourself to Christ. Let him build. Let him cause you to become what he intended. Let him create a holy man, a righteous man of integrity. Let him, because everything that he's called you to accomplish is for that man, you know. And so I would say, you know, give yourself to being conformed by the Father, by the Holy Spirit, to be a son. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater that you can ever achieve than actually being in your skin the Christ that is in you that he wanted you to be.
So in closing, that all this has been beautiful. I think so often we get caught up into our own lives and our career and how, well, now we're coming full circle. We get caught up into our job and our daily tasks. And, you know, it's important. We need to be diligent. We need to be good stewards of what has been given to us and what the Lord has brought us. And of course, perform with excellence. But I think reminding ourselves within the grand scheme of the cosmos, why we are here, why we are created, and that is to be a reflection of the ultimate creator. And that's why we are here. We are here to make him known. And Cameron, you have done that so well as a reflection. And for those of us within our network, tell us how we can stay connected, how we can stay involved about what's going on with you, your family, what's coming up next for you.
Well, man, there are quite a few ways these days, man. I think everybody understands social media. So basically, first of all, you can go to CameronArnett.com and get a load of all of who we are and what we do. You can follow me on IG and at Facebook on Cameron Arnett Actor. And also you can follow us on YouTube at Kami Arnett. You can actually use that name, Kami. Kami Arnett Production Studios on our YouTube channel. And please get involved, because the bottom line is that, you know, again, as creatives that are in Christ's hands, no one should be more well-known than you, because you're the only one that is actually being used by God to reconcile mankind, you know, back to himself. And, you know, this social media thing is something that I do because I have to do. And sometimes I even hate talking about it, but the bottom line is that, you know, no one should be known more than a man or woman of God that truly belongs to God, that has given their lives to reconciling the world.
Man, mic drop. Love it, brother. Cameron, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sitting down with us, talking about how your faith and with arts and media and culture colliding. That's what we're here for. And so it's been such an encouragement. I cannot wait to see The Forge. I'm sure it's going to be great. And I know that you've been working really hard on that. And so everyone, check out Cameron Arnett. Go follow him, as he said. And for you watching this video, please be sure to give this a like, share this with a friend, let everyone know what's going on with the Kendricks and Cameron and what we're doing here at Cultivating Truth. We appreciate you guys. And be on the lookout for The Forge this fall.